Denver General Meetings, September 3, 1994, Evening Gospel by Brother Judd. He speaks on Jericho.
Tonight, by singing number 6, one would like to welcome everyone that may not have been in this room before, may not have been here this afternoon or this morning. And this is the gospel meeting, telling forth the wondrous grace of God in saving lost sinners. Many in this room have tasted of that grace and know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But I wonder if there's one here, little boy or little girl, some young person or older, that does not know Christ as Savior. Then, dear ones, there is salvation for you tonight, if you will have it. Could we sing number 6? God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified, 'twas for sinners Jesus died. If you are a sinner, you are entitled to the Savior, for 'twas for sinners Jesus died. Someone start number 6, please.
God in mercy sent his Son to the world.
Sin and crown above, come.
just sung, God in mercy sent his son. Have you pondered it, dear ones, that God in mercy to your soul and to my soul sent his only begotten son into this scene that he might die and thereby provide salvation for lost, guilty sinners? Man had sinned against God, but God still loved man. Many think that God is an austere God, demanding something from man. But, oh, dear ones, God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. Dear ones, dear boy and girl, dear little ones, you too have a soul to be saved. You too are lost. You were born into this world lost. Dear ones, dear little boy or girl, the salvation is for you as well as for those that are older. Oh, I ask you, you dear little children, have you ever taken the Lord Jesus as your Savior? You need him. He alone can save. One verse I would like to turn to, it's not what I intend to linger over, but in Genesis chapter 6, just the first clause of verse 3. Genesis 6 and verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Dear ones, God is offering salvation tonight to whosoever will. That whosoever believeth on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That word, whosoever, encompasses everyone. Whosoever believeth. But God has said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. If you feel in your soul tonight the need of the Savior, it's the Spirit of God working in your heart. No, it's a solemn, solemn thing to resist the striving of the Spirit of God. God would have all men to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires your salvation. He has provided salvation for you if you will take it. But my spirit shall not always strive with man. Salvation is offered to you tonight. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hold now. But God does not have to offer that to you tomorrow. It may be that tonight could be the last time the Spirit of God will strive in your heart concerning your salvation. The last time that you would be concerned about your soul's salvation. Dear ones, we plead with you. If the Spirit of God strives in your heart tonight to close in with God's offer of mercy, it's to whosoever will. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Yes, beloved, the chiefest of sinners is in heaven tonight. The chiefest of sinners is with Christ in glory this night. And you are welcome to that same Savior tonight, but you might not have that offer tomorrow. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. One would like to look at the city of Jericho for a few moments tonight. We might turn first of all to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 1. Now I believe we can see Jericho as a picture of this world. We read in Luke 19, verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Marvelous truth. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come into this scene as a man and passed through this scene. Why did he come into it? He came into it with the express purpose of going to that cross of Calvary to accomplish redemption for you, to provide salvation for you if you will take it. Will you have Christ as your Savior tonight? Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Well, now, you boys and girls, I'm sure you've been to a parade sometime, or been where there's a crowd of people come to see something. And you couldn't see very much. Probably couldn't see anything but legs. A little boy drew a picture once of what he had seen of a certain, some certain parade. And when they looked at what he drew, there was a lot of legs. That's all that little boy could see. But there ones. This man wanted to see Jesus. I wonder if you want to see Jesus. If you want Jesus as your Savior. Zacchaeus was rich. He had all he needed of this world's goods. But he wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied. Oh, I'm sure you've heard before, and I'll repeat. The things of this world cannot satisfy your heart. Cannot satisfy your heart. Some years back, there was a daily paper issued in Toronto. Said this before. Some may have heard it before. But on their weekend paper, they printed an article on the 7 richest men in the world. And the comment that was made, those 7 men had one thing in common. The 7 richest men in the world, they had one thing in common, the sad, dissatisfied expression on their faces. Oh, this world cannot satisfy. Christ alone can satisfy your heart. And I would say again, from the youngest to the oldest, here in this room tonight, each one of us need Christ as Savior. And if you're without Christ as your Savior, you are lost. Sometimes the question has been asked, what must I do to be lost? Dear ones, the answer is nothing. You were born lost. Without Christ as Savior, you are lost. And you need Him neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ is the only way of salvation. Well, we'll just go on here. Verse 3, Zacchaeus. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Well, he wanted to see Jesus. I wonder, too, if he wanted to see him without being seen. For a sycamore tree is quite a thick tree, really. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He came to the place. He knew where Zacchaeus was. He looked up and he saw him. And not only that, but he called him by name. He called him by name. The Lord Jesus knows just where each one is. And he knows your name. And furthermore, he knows all you have done. Genesis 16, we have that little verse. Thou, God, seest me. Thou, God, seest me. Yes, he has seen every action. He has heard every word that we have spoken. He knows all that we have done. And furthermore, dear ones, it has been recorded. Revelation 20. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Solemn thought. God has recorded all that you have done. But oh, if you only turn to Christ as Savior, if you only come as a lost sinner, put your trust in him. Dear ones, that record will be wiped out. You will stand before a holy and a righteous God, clean every whit, cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, sufficient to cleanse away the darkest stains, if you only turn to him. Well, Zacchaeus got more than he expected. He wanted to see Jesus. Jesus told him, today I must abide at thy house. And oh, if there's a heart that will open to him tonight, there's a heart that will come to him as a lost sinner and take him as Savior, you will find he will abide with you this night. Notice in Luke 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Here's a contrast. Zacchaeus was rich. He had everything of this world's goods. This poor blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. The multitude told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now I believe this was the Lord's last journey up to Jerusalem. The cross was before him. This was this blind man's last opportunity to get what he wanted from the Lord. It was Zacchaeus' last opportunity. And this may be your last opportunity for God's salvation. They rebuked this blind man. They told him to hold his peace. But no, he wouldn't. He had a need. And he wasn't going to let this one opportunity that he had to meet that need pass by. He cried all the more, Jesus, thou Son of David. Oh, the crowd said, Jesus of Nazareth. But this blind man realized who that one was. Jesus, thou Son of David. In all his blindness, he saw more than what the crowd saw. And the crowd will pass by, heedless, going on to a lost eternity. But dear ones, you do not need to go on to a lost eternity. You can have Christ tonight if you will take him. Every lost sinner is welcome to Christ if you will come to him. And this may be your last opportunity of coming to him. Oh, do not let it pass by. Verse 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Well, are you going to follow his example? Are you going to cry to him tonight? Are you going to take him as your Savior? Are you going to receive that spiritual sight? If not, you will go on with your eyes blinded to a lost eternity. Let us turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 2. Here again we have Jericho. Jericho in opposition to the people of God. This world tonight is in opposition to Christ. It was this world that nailed Christ to the cross of Calvary. And the heart of this world has not changed. Confess the Lord Jesus and you will draw down the scorn of this world. This world does not want Christ. Some time ago, there was a day of prayer proclaimed, and in each of the churches, somebody had placed a little pamphlet speaking of this day of prayer, and on it was written a suggested prayer. Dear ones, in that suggested prayer, there was not one mention made of the name of Christ. But no man cometh unto the Father except by me. The world will allow God, but they hate the name of Christ. They hate the name of Christ. There was one time in the army, I was asked to give thanks at a function. Well, I gave thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Afterwards, one of the sergeants came to me. He said, you know, the way of giving thanks in the army is for what we have, thank God. Oh, yes, thank God, but they would not have the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear one, will you have Christ tonight? He is yours. He is yours if you wish to have him. If you will come as a lost sinner. Dear little boys and girls, have you come to him? Have you ever, has there been a time in your life when you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? You can come tonight. You can come tonight. Oh, he loves to receive little ones. He took them up in his arms and blessed them. He wants you to come to him tonight. Well, let us look at Joshua chapter 2. Children of Israel are just about to attack Jericho. They still have to cross the Jordan, but still Jericho is the first point of attack. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. Rahab said, I know, for we have heard. Everyone in Jericho had heard what Rahab had heard. It was no secret. Everyone in Jericho had heard what Rahab had heard. Rahab said, I know. She was the one that believed it. I know. Dear ones, I don't believe there's one here. There could be, but I doubt it. One here who has not heard the gospel. Oh, I wonder how many times you, dear boys and girls, have heard the gospel. Say, I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior. Can you speak with that assurance? Or have you heard, and what you've heard, has it fallen on deaf ears? Have you paid no attention to it? Have you let it go by as just another gospel meeting, not realizing the message is for you? verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She asked for life. She asked that her life and the life of her family might be preserved. The man answered her, "Our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." How careful Rahab was that those messengers got away safely. That was her one safety herself, her one way of salvation. She wasn't going to miss it. And oh, dear ones, I would that each one here would be in earnest as Rahab was. A sinful woman, yes. God doesn't hide it. But there's salvation for her. And she wasn't going to miss the opportunity. And the man said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, and thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever," oh, notice this, "whosoever," dear ones, "whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." Whosoever. There was salvation for everyone in Jericho, if they would have had it. Whosoever. Oh, you say Rahab's house wouldn't hold everybody in Jericho. That's true. But it held everybody that wanted to go in. And the question for you, dear one, tonight, do you want to go in? Do you want Christ as your Savior? Do you realize your need of Him? Will you come to Him tonight? Will you put your trust in Him? There's room in heaven for you tonight if you will come and accept Christ as Savior. But the day is coming when God will say, "My house is full." Yes, God will have His house full. Go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in, that My house may be full. No, that we might compel you to come tonight to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, "And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, According unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window." Did you ever notice that Rahab didn't do what the men told her to do? Rahab didn't do what the men told her to do. Notice the 18th verse. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. She didn't know when they were coming into the land. She took no chances. The men weren't out of sight before she had that scarlet line in the window. And you don't know when God's day of salvation is going to close. You don't know when the Lord Jesus is coming to call his redeemed to meet him in the air. But he is coming. And many of us here feel that coming is very, very near. And when he comes, God's day of grace will end. No more will it be said, whosoever will. No more will you have an opportunity for salvation. God's time is now. God's time is now. Oh, that you would come now. Verse 22, and they went and came under the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Day coming when this world will faint at the thought of the wrath of the Lamb. Yes, Christ came once in lowly grace, providing salvation for whosoever will. Christ is coming again to execute judgment on those that would not accept the salvation that has been provided. Oh, think of God sending his only begotten Son into this world and man saying, I won't have him. If you will not accept Christ as your Savior, that in reality is what you're saying. You will not have him. But God has nothing else for you except judgment. Let's go to chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Again, it's a picture of this world. Straitly shut up to the judgment of God. No way that it can be escaped except by going into Rahab's house, so to speak, going to that one place of safety in Jericho, going to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one place of safety in this world. There is a place of safety that you can have tonight. But that is the only place of safety. No other way can you escape the judgment of God. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. The mercy of God extended to you tonight. God loves you. For God so loved the world. He loves you. He desires your salvation. He willeth not the death of a sinner. He would have all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants you to come tonight. But dear ones, don't forget, God hath appointed the day in which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Either it's accepting Christ as your Savior, acknowledging yourself as a sinner and turning to him, or facing the judgment of God. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Well, let us go down to verse 12. This was God's instruction to Joshua. Now, verse 12, Joshua begins to carry out that instruction. You know, this word of God is God's instruction for us. This precious word of God that we hold in our hands is God's instruction book, guidebook, for you and for me. And just as Joshua heard God's instructions and then began to carry them out, so, dear ones, you and I should be guided by this precious word of God. Supplied to each one of us, saved or lost, here is our guide. Verse 12, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rear ward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. Well, you see that army, 600,000 men marching around that city of Jericho. And no doubt the people in Jericho wondered just what was going to happen. Well, the first time they went around, nothing happened. They marched it around the same way the 2nd day. And no doubt there was some concern in Jericho. 600,000 armed men marching around their city. And they knew that they would give no mercy. No doubt there was concern. The 2nd day, nothing happened. They went around the 3rd day, and nothing happened. I wonder if there's one here that has said, well, we've heard about the Lord's coming since we were born. Every meeting we go to, we hear about the Lord's coming. And no doubt to start with, there was some concern in your heart. But you've constantly heard the Lord was coming. Do you begin to be lulled to sleep? Does it not have any effect on your heart now? 3 times that army had gone around Jericho. Nothing had happened. No doubt the people in Jericho began to breathe a little easier. 4 times they went around it. Nothing happened. 5 times they went around it. Nothing happened. How many gospel meetings have you been in and listened to the gospel? And you haven't accepted Christ as Savior, as far as you're concerned, it appears nothing has happened. Day coming. There's a day coming, dear ones. The 6th time they walked around that city, came back to the camp, nothing had happened. Verse 15. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. Gone around it 6 times on that day and nothing had happened. They went around it the 7th time. And it came to pass at the 7th time. That was God's time. Christ will come in God's time. And if you haven't taken Christ as your Savior, you'll be lost. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew at the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Go down to verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew at the trumpets. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Are we listening for a shout, beloved? And when we hear that shout, we'll go up every man straight before him. Yes, to meet the Lord in the air. What about this world? Notice verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, and sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. Utter destruction. There is no mercy shown to any except those that were in Rahab's house. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel, even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Why was Rahab saved? She said, I know, for we have heard. She believed what she heard. God's word to each sinner tonight is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, dear one, time is passing. Our time is just about up. It's still God's day of salvation. God is still saying to you, whosoever will. We can still offer salvation to you, but we know not how soon. God's time will come, and God's day of mercy will be over. Now concerning Rahab, just turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 4. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, or Rahab. Yes, Rahab was brought out of that doomed city of Jericho, brought without the camp of Israel. Then she was brought into the camp of Israel. She married the prince of the house of Judah. She married the prince of the house of Judah. Salmon begot Boaz of Rechab. And Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David, the king. Not only was Rahab saved from that doomed city of Jericho, she was brought into the royal line of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear ones, I speak to you who know the Lord Jesus as Savior. In God's sovereign grace, not only have we been saved from the judgment that would fall on this world, but beloved, we are saved to be the bride of Christ. Oh, what a relationship we've been brought into. Dear boys and girls, how much you're going to lose. Oh, what an awful future lies before you in not knowing Christ the Savior. What blessing is yours the moment you turn and accept Christ. The moment you come as a sinner and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that finished work of His on Calvary's cross. Maybe we can sing number 10. There is a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree, a Savior as willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty, His love great and free. Number 10. Someone would start it, please.
There is a Savior.
from Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for you? Have you come to him and taken him as your Savior? If so, confess him with your mouth. Tell someone, your father, your mother, your brother or sister, confess him with your mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. Dear boys and girls or older ones, we plead with you once more to take the Lord as your Savior and confess him as your Savior.